And in the early centuries, the early church did not fail to observe this rite, even when meeting in secret worship places, mountain caves, or in catacombs. In a Christian church today, communion is looked upon as something that is just commonplace. Oh, when we are asked, what are you doing today? It's communion, something we do every 3 months. In fact, it has become inconvenient for some. Members sometimes skip communion in their own church and go to another Seventh-day Adventist church where communion is not being held. Many years ago, the Executive Committee of the Southern California Conference had to urge all the churches within the conference to hold communion service at the same Sabbath, so that if members of a particular church try to skip communion and go and attend another church service, that it will still be communion. Today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're going to look at Corinthians and see what these verses mean. They explain to us more of the meaning of this most significant of Christianity's ritual. It is my hope that after our communion service today, we'll be able to look at the celebration of our communion supper, the Lord's Supper, something that will rejuvenate and revive our relationship and our spiritual walk with our Redeemer and our Lord Jesus Christ. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This was read just a couple of minutes back. We're going to look at what these verses in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, what they say about communion. Communion time, what is it? First, in verses 23 to 25, in fact, since we have just read it, in the last phrase, the last statement in verse 25, the words of Jesus Christ says, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So dear church family, the first thing that I'd like to share with you about communion, what does communion mean? Number one, it is a time of remembrance. It is a time of remembrance. Jesus Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He said, "Remember me by this celebration of the supper." Now, if you look at your Bible, you'll find that there are a number of passages where God has said, "Remember." Okay? Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, what does it say? God says, "Remember the what? The Sabbath day to keep it holy." In Genesis, we find about Lot's experience. Remember Lot's wife. In Hebrews, we are told, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Meaning, do not forget, but remember. Remember your assembling together. And then here Jesus Christ is saying, remember me. When you hold this communion service, when you celebrate the Lord's Supper, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, why does God tell us to remember? It's because we tend to what? We tend to forget. Humans are forgetful. We are forgetful. It's not just because we're getting old, some of us. It's about senior moment or a sign of old age. But humans, we are forgetful. In fact, there is a song I like it where it says in one of the verses and just pull back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I should have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So today, I'd like to propose to you that the communion service, the Lord's Supper, is one special service that God instituted to the church so that we would remember, so that we do not forget. Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Now what do we remember about Jesus? What should we not forget about Jesus? We should not forget how he left heaven and the acclamation of the angels to come down to earth and save humanity. We should remember that he, for our sakes, became poor, so that we might be rich. We should remember that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We should remember Jesus Christ who bore our sins in his body on the tree. We should remember Jesus Christ who willingly took our place on Calvary's cross. We should remember Jesus who shed his blood for our redemption. How he conquered death for us forever. And we should remember how he ascended back to heaven to finish his redemptive work and to serve as our high priest forever. Communion time is a time to remember. The second thing about communion is that it is a time of contemplation. It is a time of contemplation. From the same verses 23 to 25 of the same chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, we find that communion is a time of contemplation. We are not just to remember what Jesus has done for humanity, but we are to contemplate what his sacrifice means for us individually. For it's so true that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. But what does that mean to you? Have you personally experienced his salvation? In fact, it is good. Somebody has suggested that when we read John 3:16, we do not just say in a well-known manner in which the verse was written, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but that we personalize it and we say instead, for God so loved me that he gave me his only begotten Son. And if I believe in him, I will not perish, but I will have eternal life. See, Jesus Christ, he died for everyone. He died for the entire human race. But what does that mean to you? Have you experienced his salvation in your life? Jesus is a risen Savior. He is in the world today. So what? What does that mean to you? Does that thrill you so that you would want to bow down before him in humility and worship his most holy name? He has saved you. He has given you eternal life and is coming soon to take you to heaven. Doesn't that excite you so that you would want to share this truth with others? Just like that inmate who, when he first heard about the grace of God and the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ dying on the cross so that men may be set free and may have eternal life. And he came to the preacher and said, is it true, preacher? Is it true what you said about Jesus? If this is true, well, he said, I will crawl on my hands and my knees over broken glass across England and tell everybody about it. So, communion time is a time of contemplation. Today, as we hold communion and participate in the Lord's Supper, let us take some time to reflect on what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has accomplished in your life. It's a great time to consider your personal walk with Christ. Are you living in a manner that pleases him? Is your heart right with God? consider your relationship with God during this special time. The third thing about communion, it is a time of identification. Also from the same passage, verses 23 to 25. We find from these verses, it is an opportunity about which we can identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we eat of the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine, we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. We declare publicly that we accept the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins and a purchase price of our redemption. So many Christians today just want to get lost in the crowd. Even when they eat at a restaurant, they can even publicly pray to thank God for their food. Or they just pretend to be scratching a suddenly itchy eye, or maybe wipe off a suddenly dirty eyeglasses, and shoot out a quick prayer for the food in silence. That's prayer. That's grace for before meals for the modern day Christian. That's why I like it when I see family or a group of friends coming before a table, and before partaking of the food, they join hands together and just even in public thank God, pray to Him, say grace for the food that they're about to receive. Communion time is a time to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. He said, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father in heaven. And he who is ashamed of me, I will also be ashamed of him before my Father in heaven. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11 says that those who know him are not to be ashamed of him. So let us take our stand with the redeemed and loudly proclaim our faith in him and our dependence upon his sacrifice. I like mentioning the story of an old Christian believer who was deaf, getting deaf and going blind. But he kept going to church. He kept going to church even if he was already almost deaf and almost blind. And he was being heckled on his way to church. And the hecklers were shouting at him, mocking and ridiculing him, and said, hey, old man, why are you going to church for? You're deaf, you're blind. You can see, you can hear. Why do you have to be going to church? He shouted back at them and said, I still go to church because I'm not sure the devil which side I'm on. We have to identify ourselves. And communion time, dear church family, is a special time by which we can identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Celebrating the Lord's Supper, it's taking time to identify ourselves with Christ and showing belief in what he did to save us from sin. It is a prime time to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Communion time is also a time of declaration. Verse 26. It is a time of declaration. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So each time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are declaring his death and his resurrection to new believers, to the new generation of people that are coming after us. It is a nice time. It's not only a worship opportunity, but it's also a wonderful time by which we are able to educate the young ones, the little ones that are coming after us, the new believers. Each time we eat of the bread and the wine, it gives us opportunity to explain it to those who do not know it. And I love it when our good friend, the late Levi Farigar, the last Sabbath before he passed away, he was taking time to show and to demonstrate to Matt, one of our younger believers, newly baptized members, how the foot washing is done. And he was saying, I'm showing Matt
how good washing is done.
Let us proclaim it to all men and women, boys and girls, what a wondrous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ each time we have communion. Let us remind this lost and dying world that there is only one source of salvation. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in Acts 4:12, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is no other than the name of Jesus. Today, some churches try to be what they like to call seeker-friendly church. And they try to accommodate people's habits and customs and lower the standards of the Christian church in order to get people in. They try to compromise their message in order to accomplish their mission. They compromise to get a crowd. We still protect the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. Salvation is by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. And this faith is not a dead faith, but a living faith that works by love. Friends, dear church family, you're at Central Filipino. We are not here to draw a crowd. There may be some vacant spaces in the pews, but we're not here to fill up the pews. We're here to give a message, to give the trumpet a certain sound. You could compromise to draw a crowd, but I'd rather preach the truth to a few than to drag a crowd behind me to a Christless eternity. I'd rather be part, somebody said, I'd rather be part of an organization that is failing but will ultimately succeed than be part of one that is succeeding but will ultimately fail. So communion, it is a prime time to identify, to declare the message that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Communion time is a time of expectation. Jesus Christ said, as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. Communion time serves to stir up our thoughts concerning the return of our Lord Jesus. Yes, as often as you eat the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine, we are showing that the Lord's death until he comes. He died for us. He rose again and ascended to heaven to make intercession for us before the throne of God. And let's not forget that he has promised to return someday soon for us. And so every time we have communion, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we should be reminded that he is coming soon to take us home with him to heaven. When the bread and the wine are passed in a few minutes, let us be reminded, the Lord is coming. And he's coming for those who are going to be waiting for him. The writer of the Hebrews says, question, are you waiting for him? Are you getting ready for that great day? Are you keeping yourself pure even as he is pure? He who has this hope in him, 1 John 3:3 says, will purify himself even as he is pure. Finally, communion time is a time of self-examination. A time of self-examination. Verses 27 to 31, which we read earlier. Communion time is a time for worship and reflection. It is also a time of self-examination. And we are warned against partaking of the supper in an unworthy manner. In fact, communion time, when we have the Lord's Supper, it is, in fact, a warning to the lost. No one who is not yet baptized or who is unsaved, who has not received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, should be partaking of it.
It's true, we practice open communion, as we say it, which means anyone who wishes to participate may do so. But we are warned against partaking of the supper in an unworthy manner. And this is serious, friends. In fact, it's a warning to the backslider. When we come before the Lord's table, we should have taken care of sin in our lives. Because if not, according to the Psalmist chapter 66, verse 18, by regarding iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And he's not just going to hear us if there's iniquity in our heart and in our life. But we stand to receive God's judgment and his chastisement upon us. It is a warning against taking the supper lightly. In some, they come to the communion service. They go through the motions and ignore the significance of the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ had on the cross. Others, they trust the ceremony to save them and fail to trust the one to whom the ceremony points to. Still others have bitterness and hatred in their hearts towards their brethren. All this, my friends, are a warning to us. It's dangerous and it brings God's chastisements and his judgments upon us. That's why Paul says in our gospel today, for this reason, he says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In fact, he also says, some have perished among the Corinthian church. As we get ready to partake of communion today, remember when we were young, our mothers used to say, "What's up for supper? What's up for supper?" That's what the Lord is saying today, dear friends, dear church family. Are you in the right condition to receive the emblems today? Have you accepted Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Are there hidden things in your life that need to be dealt with at this moment? Is there any problem between you and maybe another believer, another friend, another companion? Can you honestly say that your heart and life are pure? Are you ready to receive the bread and wine with a heart of true worship for God, the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ? There is a story that comes to us about an orphan boy who was living with his grandmother when their house caught fire. The grandmother, trying to get upstairs to rescue the boy, died in the flames. The boy's cries for help were finally answered by a man who climbed an iron pipe, drain pipe, and came down with the boy hanging idly to his neck. Several weeks later, a public hearing was held to determine who would receive custody of the child. There was a farmer, there was a teacher, and a third man who was the wealthiest citizen of the town. And all gave reasons why they felt they should be chosen to give the boy a home. And as they talked, the lad's eyes remained focused on the floor. Then a stranger walked to the front and slowly took his hands from his pockets, revealing scars on them. And as the crowd gasped, the boy cried out in recognition. This was the man who saved his life and whose hands had been burned when he climbed the hot pipe. With a leap, boy threw his arms around the man's neck and hold on to dear life. The other men who were wishing and hoping they could have custody of the child, they suddenly walked away, leaving the boy and his rescuer alone. Those marked hands that settled the issue. Today, we have a special time to remember one whose hands and feet were pierced, whose side was riven, and whose blood was spilled on the cross so that we may have the gift of eternal life. Let us remember him. Contemplate what he did for us. Identify ourselves with him. Declare that he is the only means of our salvation. Expect his soon return. And examine ourselves today if we are worthy to partake of the emblems of his body and his blood.